This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. In late March of last year, Michigan was going through its first surge of COVID-19 cases, and the whole state was getting its first taste of lockdown life. However, for several groups of workers, the world did not stop. In fact, it sped up. One such group was the unsung heroes of the pandemic, grocery store workers. At this time last year, we talked with Chris Faulkner, the manager of Food for Living, an employee-owned grocery store located in East Lansing. And Chris joins us once again 1 year later. Chris, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
Can you believe it's been a year?
Yes and no. It both seems like forever and just yesterday.
Yeah. When we talked last year, one of the first things on your mind was concern for the health and safety of your employees. How are you and your folks doing?
Well, you know, partly by luck and partly by design, we're doing pretty well. We had no COVID outbreak in our store at all, so we feel very, very fortunate about that. We did have multiple challenges with people quarantining, especially early on when basically we didn't really know a whole lot about, you know, how contagious everything was and what to look out for and all of that. But we've fared remarkably well in that respect.
Have your employees been able to get vaccine doses?
Well, pretty much all of us now have one under our belt, and within the next 2 or 3 weeks, we should all be vaccinated.
One of the other things that I remember very clearly about the last time we talked is that you, like so many grocery stores across Michigan, were caught in this onslaught of shoppers. People were panic buying. People were buying more than they usually bought. People were buying different things than they usually bought. Did things ever return to something like normal?
I would say yes, although it's interesting. It was such a gradual thing as it shifted going through March, April, May. But slowly but surely, I think people began to realize that they didn't need to panic buy everything. But it was a gradual process, and everybody, I think, like we've noticed, everybody has their level of comfort, you know, and everybody adjusts to things at different rates. And I think that's what we saw in buying as well, with a few exceptions. You know, people were sort of obsessed with the toilet paper and the alcohol wipes and things like that. But in general, I do think probably by June, things had returned to somewhat normal, although I would say a little bit elevated as far as purchasing quantities go.
Are there still things that it's difficult to keep in stock?
Well, yes, there are a lot of things, actually. Since I am in the produce, that's what I know best. And surprisingly, and much to the credit of the entire produce supply chain, we experienced very, very few outs, which is really stunning given the increased buying that basically everybody was doing. Groceries didn't fare quite so well, and supplements fared extremely poorly. We get like 25% of what we order. So, it, you know, I couldn't say for any one thing how the supply is doing. It's all over the board.
But people are really going after those immunity boosters.
Yes. And I also think since more people aren't going to restaurants, you know, they're cooking and they're doing stuff at home. And so we've definitely seen elevated purchasing of fruits and vegetables.
I don't want to reduce this just to dollars, because I know that the accumulated stress of the year has been, to say the least, really something. But at the same time, we know that some of the bigger grocery chains are enjoying better than average profits this year. Since Food for Living is an employee-owned store, were the folks who work for the store able to benefit from the increase in shoppers and sales?
Yes, I would say so. I think we would have to ask them if it actually felt like it was a benefit. It's hard to define. As you say, the cumulative, you know, stress and level of attention to everything, it's hard to quantify that.
Right. I mean, I remember just hearing in your voice last time we spoke, just like your concern for the folks that you worked with and whether the store was going to be able to continue under these circumstances was very difficult.
Yeah.
In hindsight, what would you say are some of the toughest things that you've had to deal with this past year?
Well, I would say the continual awareness that everybody had a different view on the virus and its legitimacy, whether in fact it was real, whether in fact masks were a thing, you know, all of those things that I'm sure everybody are familiar with. We dealt with this on a, you know, on an hourly basis as far as what's going to happen next. Honestly, that was the primary stressor over the last year, is not knowing what to expect next from from anything, really.
Well, what was the store's policy on masks and physical distancing? How did you decide to deal with that?
Well, we ended up what we call adaptive behavior. And I think I talked about this a year ago somewhat, is everything is always on the fly now, basically. And you have to make your best decisions with the best information you have at the moment. And so our adaptive behavior was continually adjust as you go, and what is working, what is not, when you encounter a person, and what is the best way of approaching it? How do you tell the person that, you know, there is a mandate on masks and that everyone needs to wear a mask in the store? And it's a continual engagement in terms of, you know, trying to produce the best outcome on those encounters.
Boy, that sounds like a negotiated response for sure.
It is. It's a learned response, and it's the fact that you have to understand that everybody's comfort level, everybody's belief level, everyone is at a different point. And no matter what you believe, if another person believes something different, that's something that you have to adapt and work with.
I think I'm hearing you say that at Food for Living, you couldn't just say masks are no service.
That's correct. You know, and we always shared our approaches and our successes and our failures and, you know, make light of it. If somebody walks in, you go, whoa, wait, here, we have a mask for you, you know, lighthearted and, you know, not saying you need a mask, masks are required. You know, there's a whole way of approaching it, and we quickly, seemingly quickly, discovered ways to sort of develop responses that got better outcomes.
Chris, the case rates in Michigan have really gone up over the past couple of weeks. They are, at this moment, higher than they were 1 year ago during lockdown. Are you and the staff becoming concerned again about conditions in the store?
Well, you know, that's interesting you mentioned that. I think most of us have read about that and know about it. But I think from a psychological perspective, we're not going there. We've developed a way of coping, to be honest with you, and we do what we need to do every day, and we're conscious of what we have to do to stay safe and be prepared and all those things. And so for myself personally, I don't allow myself to think about it a whole lot.
Right.
I just do what I need to do and watch my coworkers' backs, and that's what I focus on.
Chris, speaking as someone with a lot of gratitude for grocery stores, I really appreciate all the extra work. At the same time, as a home cook with a partner and a kid, once I feel safe about sitting down in a restaurant again, I might eat out for 3 weeks straight.
Yes, I think pretty much everybody feels the same way.
Right. Do you think that on the other end of this, There will be things about the business delivery of groceries and curbside pickup of groceries that might be permanently changed.
I think probably, but on the other hand, I'm also amazed at the inertia that systems have to keep things the way they are. And even though I've read a whole lot about, you know, things being permanently changed, and part of me believes that, and part of me believes that people's individual beliefs and preferences just continues to roll right on, irregardless of what what else is happening.
The outpouring of love and support for grocery workers early in the pandemic was really touching. That said, I do feel like, as everyone has been reminding themselves again and again to stick by restrictions and curbing their urge to be out in public, that, you know, people have gotten pretty exhausted with, you know, just the state of being at home all the time. Are there ways in which you've seen that manifesting in your customer base, or ways in which you've seen people kind of getting tired and getting worn out from all this?
Yes. I think there's a great desire, not only from us on this end, but from customers as a whole, to have things go back to normal. And no matter how much we wish that the virus wasn't here and that we wish things were normal, it isn't normal. And I think I see people's frustrations with that. And it, understandably, it comes out in things that they want to be normal, but that are not. And we try our best to be understanding of people's, you know, frustrations as well as our own. So I think, yeah, we try to let some things slide. I'll put it that way.
Did people's expectations change about what they hoped for from a store?
I think so. And I think, going back to what you said about just the overall fatigue of just being alert and on guard with everything, I think that the expectations wanted to go back to a normal thing and normal expectations and normal just, you know, having everything when you want it and how you want it. I get it. Everybody has gone through unprecedented things that have not happened ever in any of our lifetimes.
Chris Faulkner is a manager at Foods for Living in East Lansing. Chris, it's so great to hear from you. Thanks for talking to us.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.